Okay, so we're all set. So, how was the week for everybody?
Good.
Yeah,
yep,
good,
thank
okay.
You. Yep, good.
Okay, that's just me being polite, I guess. sorry, I called the wrong conference line number and was sitting there, and I was the only one there, and I thought, that can't be right. So, a little meager in that tune. Yeah. Oh, hi.
Hi.
So last week we looked at four of the five charts in that handout. And we didn't look at Michael Jackson's, but I ended up walking you through some things, and I had a request to, you know, to have you guys do it. So we're gonna step back to the way we were doing it before, but we want to give you more examples. And so last week can serve as, you know, having more examples of this process, possibilities, and being able to correlate biographical things. In this set of handouts I sent today. I know that you guys had mentioned wanting to have them ahead of time, but I want you to be able to get comfortable looking at them without spending a bunch of time with them. Essentially, I want you to get practiced in looking at a chart for the first time and creating that very vague, bland scaffolding and then expanding it as you spend time with it. I want to move people away from knowing all the things that they know when they first look at a chart. So, you know, this person, like if I open this handout to the woman 1981, the very first chart of these eight, if I look at this, you know, I might go, oh yeah, she's a sixth house Aquarius with an eighth house Taurus moon and a Virgo rising, so there's a personality sketch. I might say, oh, you know, look at that, you know, Uranus is square Mercury, oh, look at that, you know, all these different things. But just to get very comfortable selectively looking at the chart, you know, looking at selected elements, that's how you get very good at, you know, it's not like speed is the issue, but people do wonder how I can do all this as quickly as I do. And it's not that speed is a virtue, but when I build it very simply, as I've been showing you guys how to do, and then I expand on it and let it talk to me, you know, let the story come together after I've named all the characters and what they're wearing and what they're about, you know, their agendas and costumes, then everything can start to flow. So I want you to take the pressure off when you first look at the chart. And that's one of the reasons why you didn't get the chart that much ahead of time, because I want you to feel good improving, you know, improving, but also improving, you know, when you open a chart. So were there any, you know, as you've been looking at charts, whether the ones I've sent before or people in your life, are there any patterns or anomalies or questions that might come up before we really get into this today? Anything? Okay. Okay. Good. Well, so let's open this handout, and let's go to Woman 1981. Now, these are made up. These are more made up charts.
Just before you start, sorry, because I've only just come back from work. Have we got more charts? Have you sent through more charts? Yeah.
I sent one more PDF today.
Oh,
did you guys
okay,
get that?
Cool. Yeah. They
yeah, I got it.
I haven't opened it.
Okay, you haven't opened it. You just got back. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are eight in this one.
Okay.
So, What I'd like to do is, and I'm not going to put anybody particular on the spot. If you don't want to, you know, you don't want to do it, that's fine. You just don't speak up. But what I'd love to do is for it to have, you know, one person kind of do that kind of vague, bland, generic keyword approach before we make it into a story for each of these charts. That's why I included eight, because I knew that'd be more than the people who would be calling in today. So I want each of you to get practice with the four steps in a row, in other words, if you want to do that. And we can dialogue as we go, but I want to just tell the very basic story the first pass, and then we can come back. So does anyone want to jump in with this chart? Basically, if you speak up, you're committing to doing the four steps, or at least giving it a try. And there's, you know, just give it a try.
Tom, this is Starshine. Are we mm-hmm. also doing aspects in the four steps, or are we just trying to do Pluto?
I want to do the aspects too. I want to do the aspects too, the hard aspects, you know, the conjunctions, squares, and oppositions, and quincunxes. We can leave out sextiles and trines for now.
Okay.
But yeah, I do want you to do aspects, but it can be, you know, like if Pluto were square Saturn, you could say, well, and this mission, this Pluto thing, is, you know, receiving pressure and friction.
Hello?
Hello?
We lost Tom, I guess.
Okay, so you guys can hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Julian and I are going to be on speakerphone in the living room. Every call I make, is there's a problem. So it's telling me the network's busy or it won't connect, but I'm getting a different error message every time I call, which is weird. So we're just going to try this. Sorry about that. So what was the last thing that you heard me say?
Someone to do the chart.
Someone to do the chart? And then yeah. I just got up to sound asleep. So I just started doing it because nobody spoke. So does somebody want to work on this chart to jump in? Start with Pluto.
I can jump in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't need to jump in.
Everybody will get a chance, so it's all good.
Yeah.
So just somebody and then somebody else. Yeah.
I'm just feeling a little bit rusty because I haven't done any much for a couple of weeks. So maybe whoever else just spoke, maybe you can jump in if you don't mind.
Okay, great.
Well, this is Starshine, and I can do it, but I'm going to be pretty slow, if that's... I mean, I'm going to have to take my time through it. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. It's just the very basic keyword stuff, but yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Okay, so we're looking at the woman, 1981, from New Delhi?
Yes.
Okay, so she has Pluto retrograde in Libra in the second. Indicating that... she's experienced the best and worst of trying to achieve balance and fairness through in the realm of survival.
Yeah.
But because it's in retrograde, it means that she is having to rethink how she's done this before, and she's being turned somewhat inward to rethink that, how she's usually done that.
Yes.
Okay, so Pluto, if we're not doing sextiles or trines, that's all she has.
Right.
For Pluto.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So there's no hard aspects to Pluto. Okay. And then the south node is in Aquarius, conjunct Venus in the fifth house. So I was trying to make a distinction between that and the south node ruler with the way that you explained that before. So the wording that I used for south node was the attitude of her family environment. Does that sound like a good way to say it or to characterize it?
Yeah.
Rather than it being her, exactly,
correct.
It's more like... Okay.
Ruler would be her and her role. Right, so you're correct.
Right. Okay. So the attitude of her family environment is... Let me look at that real quick. I haven't memorized all of this, so I'm going to have to look it up a little bit. So Aquarius in the fifth is the attitude of the family environment is that creativity, let's see, is this issue of freedom, the needing to be free, and that with it being in the fifth house, creativity and shining matters. Yes. And because it's conjunct Venus, then the attitude also is one that relationships are important. So I'm not quite sure how to put all of that together, other than it's going to be a family that is concerned with freedom and needing to be free. And that freedom needs to be expressed in some kind of creative way.
Exactly.
Conjunct Venus, that's all going to be done sort of through the function of relationships.
Yeah, yeah. So when you look at something like this, that was good, by the way, that's good. When you look at it and building the story, you have, you know, it's a fifth house kind of place, done in an Aquarius way, and additionally, Venus saturates it.
Okay.
No, additionally,
Venus
there's a Venus.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So your phrasing isn't bad. It just, I understand that it's with an extra variable there, it can be kind of hard to figure out where to go. But that's a good template. It's like fifth house in an Aquarius way with tons of Venus.
It's Aquarius way. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, the fifth house done in Aquarius way. So self-expression, seeking freedom, that's the fifth, and then Aquarius. And then, yes, there's tons of Venus there, too. So that was good.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, so the south node ruler is Saturn.
Ooh, actually, let me stop you, because you have, there are two squares to the node.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Okay. So, let me look at that a second. Okay, so there's a square to the moon in Taurus in the 8th house.
Mm-hmm.
So, so if you do it, you begin with the house, which would be in the realm of intimacy. Okay, in the realm of intimacy, or in the environment of intimacy, done in a Taurus way, which the keyword that keeps coming to me for that is simple. It's kind of like approaching it in a simple way, saturated, well, or in terms of emotion and nurturing. So that's squared, which means that it's, let's see, opposition is challenging. So squared is, it's like, I don't know, I think of it as kind of like, I don't know, I always get confused with square and opposition. I think I don't really understand the difference between the two.
Well, so the opposition is like two gunslingers in the street at high noon.
Okay.
Right? There's like a face-off or standoff. The square is like people who have different ways of doing things are criticizing each other. It's a little different.
Okay. So criticism would be a...
yeah.
But are they both still challenging each other? Because I think that's the word that keeps coming to me is challenge. But are they both challenging, but in a different way?
Yeah, I mean, pressure and friction are what I tend to use with the square.
Okay.
Pressure and friction. Because it's like pushing on each other. Tectonic pushing on each other, you know?
Okay. Okay.
And then the challenge and the opposition is like if someone were opposing you, that person could call you out and challenge you and say, I don't think you know what you're talking about. But a square would be, I think you're wrong, just like you're doing it wrong. It's a little different than, you know, opposite viewpoints. They're in friction, clashing. little different.
So the opposition can feel like one is trying to get rid of the other, where a square would be more like, I don't want to get rid of you, but you need to change.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
okay.
Right.
Okay. That's a lot clearer. Thank you.
Okay.
So
you have
so,
south node, so it's not quite the same as pressure and friction. Remember, there's this moon or square the node idea being about an unresolved issue or karmic confusion,
okay,
where they know some things but not everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's an unresolved issue about Isn't impulse another key word for Taurus? I'm thinking, but no, that's really more Aries. Yeah, I think I'm having some trouble with this part.
Okay, do you want me to kind of feed you a couple ideas?
Yeah, just this one, the Taurus with Moon in the 8th house. Because I'm thinking like Taurus and the 8th house are almost completely opposite from each other. So I think I'm having some trouble.
About the 8th house in the Taurus, that should leave a door open to get, you know, to get through those things. But yes, I understand when it's reversed like that. So Moon is for the nodes. So I'll start with this. I'll say Moon, feelings, family, needs, security, safety, there's an unresolved issue about those things.
Okay.
And so in Taurus, you know, going with your idea, like this, like the simplicity of what one needs and how one can get that within intimacy. That is an unresolved issue. There's some confusion about needs within intimacy.
Need within intimacy?
Yeah, needs, Moon,
needs,
yeah, within intimacy. And in Taurus, it needs to happen slowly, simply, So there's confusion about it. And you don't need to know what the confusion is. Just at this point, just set it up. There's something confusing about that, which essentially is about trust.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's the 8th house?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And then the Chiron is also square the nose to it. You could.
Right. So Chiron is in, okay. Because would that be considered conjunct? Nine degrees?
Maybe, but it is square the node still by 3 degrees of Aries.
Okay.
I mean, people use 10 degrees on the Moon and Sun, and maybe I'd count it, maybe I wouldn't, but they're both square the nodes either way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Moon and Chiron wouldn't necessarily be conjunct, but they're both square the nodes.
Correct, right. You might have an orb in your head of 9 or 10 degrees, in which case that's perfectly valid. That's fine.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So from the little that I understand about Chiron in terms of looking at it in the chart, then if Chiron is square the nodes, then there's in the 9th house in Taurus,
mm-hmm,
then there's an issue about would it be like trying out different ideas? Because it's not necessarily travel. It wouldn't necessarily be that. Would it be more like trying out different kinds of big ideas? It would be in that realm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go with it. It could be either, but yeah, it could be a bunch of things, but yeah. Yeah, ideas, beliefs, yeah.
Okay, ideas and beliefs. And Chiron indicates some type of wound regarding that in Taurus, which again is about simplicity.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some wounding that creates karmic confusion about beliefs and, you know, how to have simple beliefs and ideas, how to do that in a simple way. Yeah.
Okay, how to make that simple. Okay.
Right. The ninth house in a Taurus way. How to do the belief thing in a Taurus way, there's a wounding in there. So, yes, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so that's all there is for the South Node. Okay.
Yes.
And then the South Node ruler is Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturn is retrograde in Libra in the first house conjunct Jupiter, which is also retrograde. Okay, so the first house is about self-identity. So the person themselves is playing the role. They're seeing that what matters is establishing a self-identity. And they're doing that in a Libra way, which means that they're concerned with... let me look at this up here. Okay. Okay, so they are concerned with whether or not, with the need to yield or bend, and in the first house that has to do with it, either with independence or needing to go it alone. But they're doing this in as Saturn in a Saturnian way, which means that they're also concerned about how to structure this and what limitations they face. Conjunct Jupiter.
With the South Node ruler, it's almost a good, it's a good idea to treat the South Node ruler as kind of like a variable that you don't care what planet it is. So when you look at that.
Oh, okay, you're right. Yes, I'm sorry. You're right about that.
Okay. But yeah.
But it would still be, you would consider Jupiter, it being conjunct Jupiter?
Oh, yes.
Or not?
Oh, yes.
You would. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're just concerned about the placement, but not the actual planet itself.
That's right, because we covered the energy of the planet really comes through with the South Node, and then the ruler is just kind of where is it and what it's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so it's conjunct Jupiter retrograde, which means that one, they're having to rethink Jupiter, and they're having to turn inwards and rethink Jupiter. And Jupiter would be concerned with expansion and sort of making things big and sort of larger than life. So so they're concerned with their independence.
Mm-hmm.
And how they, and whether or not they need to yield or bend in the realm of sort of going your own way.
Yep.
And this is a very expansive, it's very big. I'm not quite sure.
Right.
It seems so easy when you're doing it, but then as I'm doing it and I'm talking through it, it's hard to put it
down. No, we all learn it. Yeah. Hi there.
Hi, I got cut off. Sorry.
It's okay. So, yeah, so this is exactly how you put it together. So, yeah, that person shows up, the first house, trying to do Libra stuff, but also the person carries big Jupiter. You know, the person is big, perhaps, but they're both retrograde, so the person has to rethink it. So yes, got it. Got it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I rethink how that happened. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let's see, aspects. We did the conjunct Jupiter. There's a trine. Okay, so there's a quincunx to the moon. Okay, so a quincunx, that was a trigger, right? That's from what I remember. And
sextile is like a trigger. A quincunx is like oil and water, or can't be in the same room together, or sudden shock.
Is that the one that knocks you off course?
Exactly.
Okay. And I think I had a question about that, and I should have asked about it last time. So how is knocking off course different than criticizing? Is it that it's kind of like the knocking off course is just like something that's just sort of going its own way, and it doesn't really see you, and it just knocks you off course, whereas the criticizing recognizes you and directs, sort of directs the change to you in a way? I think I was a little confused about that.
Yeah, I'd say criticism is difficult to take, and somebody's telling you, either constructively or destructively, something that you should change or something you're not doing well. But the quincunx is like, it's like being blindsided and nobody's talking to you. You're just being surprised. Your socks are surprised off and you're like, what? What just happened? It's like completely, when I say knocked off course, that doesn't indicate the potential for trauma, frankly, that can come with it.
Because you're not taking it personally.
Well, yeah, but it's like you might take it personally, but it's like sudden, and it might not be critical. It just might change everything.
Okay.
So from
the point of view of the attitude of the family, there's some criticism going on, but from the point of view of the person in the role in the family, they feel more knocked off course by this. Like it's some kind of sudden change to them.
Right, because Moon is involved in both of those aspects, so precisely, exactly.
Right.
In the family, something confusing, something that needs to get worked out. I'm making the wrong choices half the time. I don't like it. But the person as an individual is like, cluster effed by this, by Moon.
Okay.
Like, oh my, what just happened? I don't even know how to get back on track again. It's like surprise, trauma. It can be information that just, you're like energetically your knees crumble or the rug gets pulled out from under you. It could be being told something, but it's also an energetic effect of surprise and shock and perhaps trauma. Yeah.
Oh, so you were saying this is trauma. Okay, I think maybe it cut out or something when you were talking. I thought you were saying it was not trauma. Okay, so could be trauma. The other one might be more of an irritant.
That's right.
Right.
Pressure, irritant, criticism, but it's very different from something just bowling you over. And you didn't even see it coming. You didn't know how to find it. You didn't have seen it coming. Yeah.
Okay. So the family might be looking at the person in that role and going, why are you overreacting to that?
Precisely. But this is also, who do you think you are? To go off on your own?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Right.
Yes. We can get into that too when we make the story, but yes.
Okay.
The person has different conceptions of family and Moon than the family does. Because of this very different energetic setup, yes.
Okay, so then the North Node is in Leo in the 11th, and so the area is, the North Node need then is I need to show who I am as a unique individual.
Yep.
And that would be... Let's see. No, I think I'm getting that wrong. Okay. It would be, I need to find like-minded others. So,
right. I need to find others. Yep.
Right. So, the family is assuming that creativity and shining matters, like individual creativity and shining, but, and so there might be some kind of prejudice against people who are just trying to find find others who are like them and sort of creating a network and being in a group with them where maybe no one shines in particular, except that it's in
right.
Leo, which means that it's going to be done in a Leo way, which is to shine. So in a Leo way, which means that they would be concerned about their own individual creativity and self-expression within a network and a group.
Good.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's see.
Good.
Oh, go ahead. I'm
no,
just going to look
it.
At the aspects. Oh, do you want me to do the aspects of the North now? Or no?
Well, you've already covered the important. You've already covered
okay.
the important ones because of the South.
Okay.
We get to the North Node. We only really do that if there's a body with conjunct or within 10 degrees of that North Node. That's where
okay.
we do that.
Right. Okay.
Otherwise, you already covered them with the South Node.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You didn't put that on the chart. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, so good. Good work. Good. So for everybody else, you know, listening to that unfold, do you have comments or questions of any kind, whether a direction she went or a general question related to a symbol or something, just feel free to speak up if you have any questions whatsoever.
I was just curious about the, it's Mary, I was just curious about the South Node ruler in the first house, because it's in Libra, or Libra, the same as the Aquarius, so it's not really that black sheep kind of, so would there be some idea that they'd sort of fit with the family quite well?
Might be, yeah. But you're right. Mm-hmm. There's no black sheep thing just from the South Node to the South Node ruler.
Right.
But if Moon represents families and the quincunx the South Node ruler might indicate that, but you're right.
Yes.
Just the symbolism of the South Node and the South Node ruler don't say black sheep. You're right.
All right. And the other thing, just when, I don't know, I sort of missed it. I don't know if it cut out just for a few minutes, but I didn't quite catch how that South Node ruler would look in the first house in Libra, like if it's could you just,
well,
just say
the person was painting the picture of needs to be independent but might be trying to figure out if he or she needs to yield to somebody else, like the bend,
okay.
because of the Libra idea.
Yep.
And that person shows up as a Jupiter figure, so shows up with either, you know, something big energy, something big.
Okay.
But because it's retrograde, maybe not.
Right.
Maybe
okay.
try, maybe rethink. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yep. Thank you.
Yeah, is that the sense, Mary?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Okay, great. Good. Okay. So I want to give each of you a chance if you want to, but I also want to give you some notes on this. Now that this basic structure is out, well, let's see, how much time do we have? Because we lost the minutes. Why don't we go on and talk through the next one with the next person, and we can always jump around and revisit these. So with this next one, the second one is Man 1944, and one of the other three of you want to take mm-hmm. a. to jump in and take a stab at this one?
No, I can. It's Mary. Okay, so so Pluto's in Leo in the third house. So so that's going to be in Leo. Sorry, so there's going to be like the empowerment journey's been about communication, about expression.
Yeah.
Maybe getting heard, so the best and the worst of that kind of. So yeah, so that's kind of been a theme. That's the theme of their lives, is something about communication, and in a Leo way about self-expression or shining or being seen or not seen. So that would be the theme, I suppose. And then the third house, Leo way.
Want you to think.
In a Leo way.
Right, sorry. Doing the third house, Leo way.
In a Leo way, yeah. So that's what I was saying about, I suppose that's in the way that,
great,
like in a Leo way, like shining or being seen.
Perfect.
Yep. So I suppose that means at some point he hasn't been seen, or he hasn't been allowed to express himself, or he hasn't expressed himself, or when he has expressed himself, he's, it hasn't worked for him, or I don't know, something like that.
Right.
So,
right.
So then it's okay. So just I'm just trying to see what the squares are there. So it's in Leo. So where's?
Yeah. So there's no squares.
Sorry, I'm not. No. So there's no squares. Is there? I can't. No. Oh wait a minute. Scorpio. No. There's no squares there. Is there? No. So then the south node is. The south node is in the eighth house in Capricorn, and it's conjunct the moon. So, so the climate in the house, or the climate in the family that he's grown up in, is so it's eighth house in a Capricornian way. So, and it's conjunct the moon. So it's kind of like back to front, really. Well, to me, that's like back to front. Cause the, so
right, but it's not. I want you to sort through that. You know, it's actually
yeah,
not.
Yeah. Okay, so the time in the house is about secrets, yeah. Maybe, or about who do I trust, who don't I trust, and
right.
And in a Capricorn way, you know, hold on. It's kind of in a Capricorn way. So it's sort of disciplined or... No, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, really.
Yeah, it does. Discipline, yeah,
does
definitely.
It?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like how the people approach trust and be very disciplined. We could also say rigid, which fits with discipline, but yes.
Okay, yep.
Like, what? Yeah.
Okay. And it's saturated in the lunar energy, so... maybe so who do you trust so much? So like I am feeling quite rusty here, so just about sort of maybe a lot of emotionalism or heightened sensitivity or it's already the family, so that's the family that we're already talking about. So does that kind of make sense, or...?
Yeah, and there's a lot of emotion. Yeah, and there's a lot of there. I mean, because it's Capricorn in the 8th, it might be constricted, but yes, there's a lot of emotion.
Oh, restricted. Yeah. And could it also mean sort of emotionalism is used in a way that's manipulative, being in the 8th house?
Definitely could
Or
be.
Not really?
Yes, it could be, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, that's 15 degrees of Capricorn. So, so it's quite hard to read. For me, it's quite hard to read these. I'm just trying to see what that Neptune is. Is that 5 degrees? And then
correct, it's 5 degrees.
Would that be considered an orb?
No, because that's 14 degrees from the node. Because the node's at 19 Capricorn.
The node's at 19. So yeah. Okay, so 19. We're looking for 19. So there's no squares, I don't think. So there's the opposition, obviously, to Saturn.
Right.
So would that be within orb?
I'd count 10 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's opposition from Saturn from... it's one of those back-to-front charts again. It's like Saturn's opposite its own ruler. Sorry, I've just gone completely blank.
Capricorn is a way of doing something, and Saturn is a part of self. So I really want everybody on the call and everybody hearing this to disavow themselves of that reverse idea. I really want all of you guys to drop that as much as possible, because doing something in a Capricorn way is not the same as being Saturn.
Right.
It is different. Saturn's a part of you. Capricorn is a way of being.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. They have similar keywords sometimes, but it is different. I don't want you to get confused by that.
All right. So, sorry, can you just help me out just a little bit with this one?
No, that's cool. At this point, I would say, Saturn opposes the South Node, so Saturn is actually missing from the family system. In that general sense, maybe it's responsibility and maturity.
Oh, it's something that the family can teach you. That's right. Yep. Sorry.
And then when we move into the third step, the South Node ruler, then it is that Saturn. So the person represented by Saturn is far away from the family also.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying about being rusty. I forgot that this is really what the family couldn't teach you about responsibility and maybe even how to take care of, like, the survival, like in the second house, couldn't teach them about taking care of himself or have a nurturing way in that Cancer, something like that.
Right.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Looking at that Saturn as South Node ruler, that person shows up as a second house Cancer figure.
Yeah, right. So even though the family couldn't teach him about that, he himself is that.
Say that again, please.
I'm just saying, because being opposite... being opposite the South Node, being Saturn being opposite the South Node, so it's really the family couldn't teach him about Saturn.
That's true.
But he himself
also the person shows up as a Cancerian second house figure.
Right.
When we talk about the ruler. So it's two levels, it's two layers.
Yeah.
So the person shows up as a Cancerian second house person. So what does that mean? To do the second house in a Cancerian way, what does that look like?
So he's showing up as somebody who's self-worth and values, and he does that in a Cancerian way with nurture and sensitivity and, sensitivity, awareness of feelings.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. And then just kind of cover briefly the aspects. There are a couple oppositions and a square conjunction.
To the South Node ruler. Yeah, to the Saturn.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, as it says, the Cancer. So it's 10 degrees. So it's got it's got a square to the Neptune.
Good.
Yep. So that's him himself. That's him. He knows some of how to do the Neptune, but he doesn't know how to do all of the Neptune. So there's kind of about how to fifth house doing Neptune in doing the fifth house. Oh, hold on. Oh, sorry, Tom. I'm really very blank at the moment.
It's okay. Do you want me to walk you through it, or
can you? Would you mind? Sorry.
For sure. Yeah, so this person showing up as this, as the Saturn and Cancer in the second, is squared by Neptunian people who live in the fifth house and who act in a Libra way. So Neptunian people can be mystical or slippery or liars or prophets, something, right? But in the fifth house, they have a sense of individuality. And in Libra, they're either creative or they're charming or something. But those people are pressuring, criticizing, or bringing friction to this person, saying, you should do this differently. It could be the difference between being very emotional versus being very level-headed. That would be Libra squaring Cancer. oh, just calm down, don't be so emotional. It could be something like that.
Right.
But Neptune people square this person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Neptune situations and people.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to go over my notes again. Okay, so, and is there any other squares? Is that Cancer?
No, that's the only square.
Okay. Alrighty, so, and then this is the North Node. The North Node's in Cancer in the second house, so he's kind of already doing that, isn't he? He's, I'm assuming he's doing it since that's who he is. So,
right.
Yeah, so he's, the North Node's to, just to keep developing his self-worth and values and sense of,
yeah,
you know, just to sort of get stronger in that respect in to do with his emotions and... yeah, sense of belonging and
And it's when any of you guys see this, the South Node ruler conjunct the North Node, and that thought, the person's already doing it, is very tempting, and it's true, but it's also good to realize that because that person's role is in the other side of the chart from the family, that this person may feel unsure how to validate himself.
Right.
He have these qualities, but everybody around him might not recognize that it's valid and might not support him. So he may feel unsupported. So yes, he's got to go his own way. Yeah, exactly. But just keep that in mind because he might already be doing it, but he might not believe in himself.
Right.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen that where I say to the client, you know, this is true about you, and the person says, well, I know that. And then I say, but are you doing it? And the person says, well, no, because then I'm the only person on earth who's doing it.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah. So good, okay. Good. And any questions about that chart or that process from anybody else? No? Okay. And then, Mario, do you want to do the next one, or do you? It's okay to say I don't want to. I'm not ready or something, but I'll just give you that opportunity.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm not ready, but you can tell me if I'm not.
Oh, I don't know. If you're
not ready.
Okay.
Which chart?
Oh, it's number 3 on this set, which is Woman, 1952.
Okay. All right. Okay, or Pluto's in Leo in the ninth house.
Uh-huh.
And so Leo, of course, has to do with expression, self-expression in a big way.
Yep.
In the ninth house, we're dealing with issues of seeking truth and being afraid that we're not going to be able to find that truth.
Yes.
And
yeah, and then conjunct Mercury.
Pluto, yeah, conjunct. Well, it's conjunct Mercury.
Yeah, Mercury is central to this journey.
Yeah, so communication is going to figure very prominently in this person's search for the truth.
Yes.
Issues with being able to communicate it, really wanting to articulate truth.
Right.
Important to this person to express just what it is they believe or believe to be true.
Yeah.
And to be heard in that way, maybe even in a big way.
Perfect.
And then Pluto is square Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
In Gemini.
It's actually in Taurus.
In Taurus? Oh, I see. Yeah. So there's going to be some friction from people that are Karen.
The D, yep.
In terms of expansiveness, maybe some criticism in terms of this person's bigness, this person's expansiveness and wanting to do things in a kind of a big way.
Yes. Yeah, especially because you have Pluto on the 9th, which is associated with Jupiter, and then Jupiter squaring it. So it's a lot about that kind of stuff, this whole journey. So, yes.
All
right. Yeah.
And is Pluto also conjunct Neptune?
No, Pluto is sextile Neptune.
Sextile Neptune. Okay, so with sextile, it triggers things. So Neptunian people are going to trigger things in this person that kind of tweaks the habit patterns and comfort zones. And
well, that would really be about the South Node as opposed to the Pluto.
The South
Node would be habit comfort zones. So this empowerment journey is the Pluto deal. Yeah, but it's okay to leave out sextiles and trines right now because nobody's going to come into you complaining that Neptune sextiles Pluto. Like, nobody's going to come in with a problem because of a sextile. Like, not usual.
Right. Okay. So
the
South Node is in Leo.
Yep.
And in the ninth house also.
Huh?
Again, we're talking about seeking truth, and the search is everything. Being expressive, needing to be out and individual. So this is the kind of family and environment the person has grown up in?
Yeah, there's a quality of this in the family system, yeah.
Yeah. And it's really kind of a big way, is the impression I get from this chart.
Yeah, because you have Pluto there, too. So that makes it pretty intense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then with the North Node, that's in Aquarius in the third house.
Well, yes, but that's actually the fourth step. We want to make sure we finish with the second and third verse.
Okay.
Yeah. So the second step, you're on the South Node, and you said Leo in the ninth, and the search for truth and all that stuff, and a big expression. But also make sure you account for the Pluto and the Mercury being there too, and the Jupiter square the node.
Okay.
So now we're looking at these two things on different levels.
Yes. So with the family system, Jupiter is square the family system.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got this urge to do things in a big way and be loud and boisterous.
Yes.
But there's some kind of resistance there, some kind of feeling that it's not... not the best way to be.
Right, exactly. When you see Jupiter square the nose in general,
mm-hmm.
person either too much or doesn't risk enough or has too much faith or not enough faith.
Okay, so that's either too much or not enough.
Yeah, you'll find the most boisterous, flamboyant, obnoxious people in a wonderful way with Jupiter there, and also very quiet people with Jupiter square the nose, because they might have made a mistake at some point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they made a decision to be quiet.
Could be. Definitely could be.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely could be. Yeah, good. So that's the square to the South Node. And then now please do the South Node ruler as the third step.
Okay, so the South Node ruler, would that be Leo, or the Sun?
Exactly, yes. So then this person shows up as what kind of figure, given the sun?
A shining, outgoing, big figure. Another big aspect.
Yeah, but the thing to look for is not that it's the sun, but where it is, the house and the sign, and then the aspect.
Okay.
Like I was saying with the Mary's example, with the Saturn being the south node ruler, it didn't really matter that it was Saturn. It mattered where it was and what it was talking to.
So are you saying then the sun being in the eighth house?
Uh-huh, exactly.
Cancer.
Yeah, this person shows up as an eighth house person acting in a Cancerian way.
So this person has issues with trust.
Mm-hmm.
They're very intense.
Yes.
And maybe at times feel they need to have protection, and they could be doing it by being even more loud and outgoing, or they could do it by retreating into the home.
That's right. Great. Perfect. And then, you know, adding in the idea that Venus is here, the person shows up as a Venus person, and also Uranus is here, so the person also shows up as a Uranus person. Just give me a couple keywords on each of those too, to round out that.
Oh, Venus. We'd be looking at relationship.
Uh huh. Person's interested in relationship. Yep.
And Uranus, we're looking at. Help me out here on Uranus.
Okay, so Uranus, the person would show up as someone needing freedom as well. Needing to be rebellious or detached, you know? So the person is interested in Venus, but also needs to be Uranus at the same time. Yeah, so might be a little restless, might be rebellious, that kind of thing.
I see, okay.
Yeah, good. 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 And then the sun is square the Neptune. Sun is square Neptune in Libra in the 11th. And same idea as the last chart where I said Neptune people will square this person. Will pressure and friction, that's the idea. And that could be from within groups. Yeah.
Okay, because it's in the 11th house.
Exactly, yep. Yeah, good. And then the north node. Can you just give me an idea of Aquarius third house, what that's about?
So the north node's in Aquarius in the third house. And so in the third house.
Uh-huh.
Mind and reason.
Uh-huh.
And so this person speaks mind and reason in that way, in an Aquarius way.
Right.
Which is concerned with sort of the big overview, benefits to large groups of people.
Well, it's really, that would be really the 11th house. And so as we look at the Aquarius way, you know, the way of being that is Aquarius, it might not have to do with groups. It probably has something more to do with being original and free.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Especially in thought.
Exactly.
Right?
The thought needs to happen in a free way or original way. Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And that's really all you need to say at this point.
Okay.
You know, it's like, yeah, exactly, because this person, you covered in the first step, is the search for truth is everything, it's intense, Pluto's there, you know, Mercury's there, perception, communication, all this stuff, but it's all about the self-expression. And now the north node here, you're wrapping up the story by saying that that person needs to basically think in a free way.
Yeah.
Open the mind into new ideas. So, good. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Maria. And then any questions about that from anybody else?
This is Starshine.
Yeah.
I have
I have three questions, which I don't know if we have time to answer all of them, but I'll just say them and you can just pick which one we have time for. So one, it seems confusing to me. Why would Jupiter criticize the family system for doing something in a big way?
Okay. That seems
like counterintuitive to me.
It might not be that Jupiter's really criticizing. It might be more like the issues, like life or things to do with Jupiter are unresolved issues for that family.
Okay.
So the South Node's in the ninth, but
I'm not quite getting what? I can't quite hear you. You keep cutting out. I'm sorry.
Okay. The South Node is in the ninth house, the house of belief, but it's happening, all this stuff in the ninth house in the family is unfolding in a Leo way. And there is a natural criticism for us. So it's like Leo is like, here I am. It's me, me, me. Look at me. Taurus is like, slow down. Figure out what's really important and get intentional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
But it's probably more like from the person Plutonian standpoint, like of the Pluto journey, Jupiter squares the person, but the family system shifting gears, you know, South Node, Jupiter squares South Node, it's probably more helpful to say that issues about belief are unresolved issues or create karmic confusion within the family.
Okay, so the criticism could come through in the, or the unresolved issue could come through in the way to do it based on the sign rather than the planet in the house. So
I'm not sure I fully understand the rephrasing.
Well, so then, but I guess what I'm saying is where the tension is, what you're saying is where the tension could come in is not so much that, like, these people that are squaring them that are Jupiter-type people, it may not even be that the tension is coming in relation to the house, which is the ninth house, but the tension could be coming in terms of how to do that, in terms of it needs to be done in a Taurus way, not a Leo way, or that needs to be tempered or something.
Exactly. And also, the sixth house. The sixth house, you're supposed to be humble. Yeah, so it's like, stop with the big ideas already. Do you really believe all that crap you're preaching? Just sit down and look at a flower and listen to what God is telling you.
Okay.
That's like doing Taurus in the sixth. Just sit down and look hamster, and that's the voice of God. And not all this, like, Pluto, Mercury, and Leo, like, waxing, poetic, milk, or preaching, all this crap. Like,
But they may be doing that in a big way. Like,
That's right.
Okay. Because they're
Jupiter. It's like a thing of bigness. And the Jupiter in Taurus in the sixth is probably saying it's smaller. But it's probably just as big.
Okay.
Look, I'm so humble, and you're just a blowhard. You know, like.
But they're making a big deal out of it.
So I do want to make sure that if Jillian wants to do the next one, she can do that. And then we'll run. I want to run through some stuff after that of different things in the chart that I've noticed. Good. Thank you. And Jillian, do you want to do one?
Yeah, I'm finally. Can everyone hear me? All right, we have Growing Man 1961. Right?
Yep, you got it.
Okay. All right, so let's see, we start with Pluto.
Yeah.
Pluto in the first, in Virgo. Someone with a lot of, I would say, the empowerment journey yourself.
Huh?
Very probably at times highly self-refined,
mm-hmm.
to the point of being maybe highly self-critical.
Right.
Talk
about what the mission is, though. Like the Plutonian journey in the first is to...
Empower the self to service.
Okay, great. That's perfect.
Yeah, which either, you know, their body, their identity, they like identify with serving others.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if the aspect would be opposing Chiron in the seventh in Pisces, which is a great aspect to have if you're trying to serve other people.
right.
You know, this person will attract wounded lost type.
Yes, yeah, perfect.
And
could you repeat that, Jillian? I missed the last
thing. That person would attract wounded lost type, so like the Chiron, that's in the Pisces,
perfect.
Kind of like you know, wanderers, the highly sensitive people.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
And then.
Yeah. So that's the aspect. So
that's the one aspect.
Great.
It,
yeah.
Okay. And then the south node in the seven.
Yeah.
In Pisces.
It's actually not in Pisces.
Oh, it's not.
I know, it's a trick of the eye.
Oh, you just...
I know.
Wait, oh, because of the... Oh, because of... Oh,
because
Uranus... Okay.
Yes.
Because Uranus is so big.
Yeah.
All right, so... Oh, excuse me. So, 27 degrees Aquarius.
Yeah, yeah.
And the 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... A person who's, let's see, whose family system, so they come from, you know, maybe, you know, intellectuals who like to talk
yes.
to one another.
It's a seventh house thing that's happening in
mm-hmm.
Aquarius way.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the emphasis in the seventh house?
Other people.
Great. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, relationships,
mm-hmm.
expectations. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
And that is happening in an Aquarius way.
Right. So it's happening in a, you know, an intellectual, humanitarian.
Right. Or, right. Good.
Scientific kind of way.
Great. And is it okay if I guide you a little bit like that?
Sure.
Okay, because I can see the wheels in your mind working.
Sure.
Okay, good.
Okay.
And I want to limit the work.
Okay.
Okay. Because you're not supposed to be clever at this point. You're just supposed to... Slap on some keywords.
Okay,
okay.
Right.
So then it's also conjunct at Chiron. So the family saturated with Chiron.
Right.
What would that look like? South Moon Aquarius saturated with Chiron and Pisces.
Well, maybe the family system itself is kind of, you know, I get a sense of like a family that, overly intellectual because they themselves have felt wounded intellectually. Like they're like maybe trying to overcompensate.
That's entirely possible. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're like
great.
You know those types of people who are like okay, let's because we have to be better about our we have, I don't know we have to put on intellectual airs.
Could be yeah.
Okay.
Because we're saturated with iron.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Good.
And then, aspect to that south node would be, let's see, that moon is sextile. No.
Yeah,
the moon is sextile.
But we'll leave out sextile
in
time. Yeah, we're just going to square the opposition.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So then, well, the opposite,
mm-hmm.
Uranus. So maybe in their maybe in their intellectual thinking, and because they were wounded and they have to prove themselves, they are types of people who will prove themselves in a very Saturnian fashion and very careful, calculated, and any new ideas will throw them off.
They could, yeah, because you might be guarded if you had to deal with Chiron.
Right. Like, it's like, no, this is not the right way to be intellectual.
Okay.
they're like maybe not the open-minded intellectual.
yeah. And so with the Uranus on the North Node, and also Pluto is in orb of the North Node, we'll leave those to the fourth step.
Okay.
Yeah. So good. So you did the second step. So
okay.
Good. So then.
South Node ruler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would be Saturn, and that is in home sign of Capricorn in the sixth, wow, in retrograde, and Jupiter, so more power to the argument that they're really going the by-the-book route.
Right. Right, so, but this person
but this is
a
person, yeah.
This is the person,
wow, they're so Saturn in the sixth house in Capricorn and Jupiter felt beautiful
great.
To a fault to me.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And the person shows up as a Jupiter figure. What do we say about that?
They is a big critic.
Could be, yeah, exactly.
Having to rethink how they work.
Uh-huh.
Because of the sixth house and the Saturn and Capricorn, that whole the whole work thing, and then but what they believe about their work.
That's great.
With the Jupiter there.
Perfect. And then the aspect of this, I'll just say there's a square to Moon, and then there's the opposition
to
Mercury and the quincunx to Uranus. So those.
So they're. So yeah, the moon the square to Moon in Aries, how they invite friction, might be that that they keep maybe their family will challenge them regarding their beliefs. In a loud way. Or, you know, opposition to Mercury in the 12th, that could be Mercury in Cancer in the 12th. So perhaps that they invite people into their lives who are to challenge them, who are how they will feel challenged is maybe by people who with it being in the 12th house, with the water house, and then being in a Cancerian sign, this is what I feel like maybe overly emotional people or like wide open people with no established pattern
exactly.
And will challenge them in some way.
Exactly.
Like they don't know what to do with that.
Right, because a South Node ruler is all about pattern structure. So, yeah.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to do with that.
Okay.
Perfect.
And then the quincunx to Uranus. Again, an overlay. I won't mention the ascendant.
Right.
A quincunx to Uranus would be that they're knocked off course by people with different ideas in like really highly artistic expenses.
Totally possible. Art, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Leo and Uranus and Leo.
Exactly. Basically, anything that's sudden and flashy. Shiny.
Yeah, it's like, whoa,
right.
I don't want to, okay.
Right, exactly. Perfect. Okay, good. And then the fourth step, the North Node.
Things that the family could not teach this person.
Mm-hmm.
It should be, but both conjunctly Uranus and Leo and the Pluto and Virgo. So in many, many ways, the family could not teach this person about about standing in their own unique power, expressive power. They had to learn how to do that all themselves and by the people who have balanced them. That's what's lovely about these cards is that there are so many overlays and like themes in a novel.
So good, thank you. So the family couldn't teach the person how to do Uranus or in Leo in the first or Pluto and Virgo in the first. So thank you.
Yeah, it's like that's really for me that is a statement of like a person who comes from a family who's totally like by the book intellectual but didn't know their true authentic power with Uranus and Pluto.
So if I can just jam on this chart for a minute, because you know, given that scaffolding, they couldn't teach that authentic power. So when you find something like this Aquarius South Node conjunct Pisces Chiron in the seventh, you know, seventh house, expectations of others, the needs of others, the demands of others, right? And when Chiron and Pisces is there, you can have this thing about responding to other people's woundedness. So this could actually be a family system of people who tiptoe around each other's problems because they're not sure how to deal with them. Like everybody carries the pain, but they're tiptoeing. And that kind of Pluto Uranus in the first, go my own way, independence, that's what's missing. Kind of like, you know, because Pluto and Uranus, when you're doing it right, you just don't put up with a lot of nonsense. And so, that self-directed idea of that first house, and so it could be, and with that Chiron on the South Node, it could also be people who have at addiction problems, too. That's entirely possible. People who are getting lost because of something that hurts. That's another possibility there, too. And
always seeking the other.
Yep. Seeking the other, paying attention to the other, wrapped up with the other, tripping over the other, all of it, yes. So any questions about that, this chart or that process and from any of the others of you? No? No? Okay. I kind of want to jump back to the other charts and give you a couple other ideas, too, like of things that I see. Kind of came out when we were talking with the woman 1952 that, you know, after Maria did the skeleton or the structure, and then Starshine asked that question about the Jupiter square, you'll find this where you have to tease out different parts of the archetype involved in this kind of conversation. You know, Pluto and Jupiter's house squared by Jupiter. Well, what does that mean? And just again, please keep in mind that the ninth isn't the same as Jupiter. But Jupiter is a part of the self that will be manifested by others and other situations and groups and things in the world. But that the ninth house is a part of life. So this person is Pluto-Mercury about belief, intense, studious, expressive, probably a chatterbox, can't stop talking, and is squared by people who believe things too, Jupiter. Just wanted to point that out too. And just look at these other ones. Yeah, just to reiterate that note with the one that Mary did, Man 1944, the second one, that idea of the South Node ruler being on the North Node, being conjunct the North Node, and how the person probably knows that about themselves, but is probably afraid to do it, or is doing it but not very confidently. And so it's a good thing to unlock for somebody, you know, to say, and you've been doing it a bunch of times. Actually, you know, for those of you who have the Soul's Journey 2, the emotional archaeology, Michael, the guy in the workshop, he has this. He's around this time where he has a South Node in Capricorn and the ruler Saturn in Cancer on the North Node. And he's the black sheep. He's the softy. He's the one who talks about feelings and does yoga and listens to you. He comes from this family of people who are pretty into the military and athletic. And all this kind of hard Saturn stuff and, you know, Saturn first house stuff. So that's just one more note there. And let me just look at this first one. I feel like there was something up here. Well, ironically, I randomly chose multiple charts with Jupiter conjunct Saturn, both of them retrograde. I thought that was interesting. I guess that's it. So are there any other questions or comments? And I'm happy to go, 5 or 8 minutes over with questions and stuff because we lost some time in the beginning with my tech issue. So any other, questions? And Starshine, you can even revisit your other two questions that you'd written down or anybody else.
Yeah, so this is Starshine. So how would, I'm looking at the woman 1952, and
okay.
You have Venus and Uranus conjunct each other. How would that work out? So I'm thinking Uranus is like a rebel, but then they're also concerned about relationships. So I'm trying to see how that would work out.
Yeah, so you have some really low responses being traumatized within relationships through trust issues.
Okay.
No, that would be like a very kind of like low-level default way of experiencing it with not much consciousness. As the person evolves, that person would realize unique partners must be chosen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unique partners must be chosen. And on the personality level, those two are conjunct the sun. Forget the karmic indicator that sun rules the south node, but it's like it's a double thing because of that. Sun rules south node, but also just personality level, that person shows up as Uranus and Venus in Cancer in the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that layer of, relationships must be chosen authentically and the right ones must be chosen to make sure there's elbow room and breathing room. But if Venus and Cancer takes over, it can be people who just need comforting and isn't it nice that we like each other. And then you get like the water behind the dam effect with Uranus. If you don't individuate, you can get bored, and then you can blow your lid later because you're bored and frustrated and angry.
So when you're even though Venus and Uranus might, you would look at them in the house, and that could tell you more about how they're interacting.
Well, sure, yeah. Within that house of intimate partnership and trust.
Okay.
And stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And as the South Node ruler, a person in a bunch of lives shows up this way, shows up needing relationships, needing trust, needing to emotionally trust somebody and to confide in somebody. That's a huge thing with Venus in the eighth, to confide in having a confidant, but also showing up as Uranus, and if that person doesn't do Uranus proactively, it can get very messy because, impatience is a big Uranus keyword, as well as objectivity and detachment, as well as unfair criticism, as well as I can't sit still. So there's all these different possibilities, but if the person doesn't do the Uranus consciously, it can be very messy with Cancerian boundaries within the eighth house. Yeah. In a bunch of lives, this person shows up that way, needing partnership, but probably getting bored a lot of the time. That's a good way to look at this signature, by the way. South Node ruler conjunct Uranus. The person might be a live wire, rebellious, or detached and scientific, or might be bored and feel half dead. That's a possibility with Uranus conjunct the South Node ruler. Honestly, especially in the 8th house, where it can seem like a lot of people don't understand us. Because in the 8th house, the chemistry in the 8th house, it's not that everybody we run into can be in our 8th house. It's, that's where we trust and we open. So there's also the possibility that, this could be a signature of somebody who needs to open the heart and wants to, but just can't find the right people. That's another possibility. Yeah. Does that make sense there? I just try to give you a bunch of different ideas. Okay, good.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And then did you have one more question? Or?
Yeah, it was about the South Node conjunct Pluto in Leo. I'm wondering, would that mean then that the family system would be reflecting their empowerment journey in a way, or well, see, I wonder that because then Pluto is like opposing the North Node. So
right. Well, so the first level you read the Pluto is that soul journey. You know, what is the soul trying to figure out how to do to become empowered? That whole bit is level one, or layer one. Layer two is it's on the South Node, so the family system is also dealing with these issues. You could find that, you know, this person is, you know, megalomaniacal chatterbox.
Mm-hmm.
You can't reason with this and whatever. But you might have that person born into a family of very generous preachers. Or the other way around. This person is thoughtful and very intent on believing something and is born into a family of loudmouths who can't stop, who can't shut up for the life of them. So the bottom line is they're all dealing with the themes, but it's very likely there are different ways those themes are expressed with each person. So the person has to do Pluto to feel good, and the family is also dealing with similar Plutonian issues. In this case, education, because Mercury's there, what to believe and why, how to be individual, how to be empowered through speech. Those are the generic headlines that would be in common with the person and the family.
And the family would have, but not the family would not necessarily have dealt with the best and the worst, right?
Well,
like the family isn't going through the Pluto journey; just the person is.
Well, so they'll have been exposed to Pluto, perhaps best and worst, but it's not the sole focus of their journey like it is with this individual.
Okay.
So it's like when somebody has Pluto on the South Node. They've been, you know, the whole family system has seen something Plutonian, intense, dark, difficult, something. But they might not be majoring in it like this person is with Pluto in Leo.
Okay.
Yeah. And you could find that these people have Pluto in a bunch of different signs, but they all kind of act Plutonian. You know, you might find in the family system there might be secrets. There might be power problems, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But everyone in the family has been touched by Pluto.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Good. And Maria or Mary, any questions or last thoughts or comments?
No, I don't have any. This is Maria.
Okay, Maria. I think I've always say your name incorrectly. I'm sorry if I do. I have a horrible memory.
Right?
This.
Maria.
Uh-huh.
Maria. Correctly.
Okay. Every time I say it, I think I said it wrong, and I'm like, what am I doing? Anyway, so just so you know. But anyway, thank you. For next week, there are four charts we didn't even look at, and I want to kind of do the same thing next week. So obviously you can prep if you want to. You know, you have a chance to look at these different things. And I included one or two with Pluto in Scorpio and one in Sagittarius or Capricorn, I think, in Capricorn, or maybe Sagittarius. So, gosh, I can't remember all of a sudden. Yeah, Sagittarius. So give you an idea of some younger people as well. So good. And feel free to email me with questions. I feel like you know, if you're not comfortable flowing with these four steps, feel free to ask me over email for clarifications or hints, or you might even pick one of the charts that we didn't do today and say, you know, here are the 12 sentences on what I'm thinking for that four-step process. And, you know, you're welcome to do that. I'm available because I want you to be able to flow with it. I want you to be able to flow with it and feel comfortable just kind of
attaching a keyword here and there and being kind of casual. And then we'll add in more detail and stuff, but that's what I want to do next week is with this then set of charts. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you, everybody, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.